Yeah, hello and welcome to the Thursday. It is Thursday, isn't it?
Yes,
Thursday
it is.
Edition of the Rush Hour, and I've been waiting to do this all week, Blue. It is a beautiful day outside. Finally.
It's here.
Finally. Maybe spring weather is arriving. Have a look outside. Blue skies, 35, maybe not 35, but that's what
17.
I used to say. I welcome you, Greg.
Thank you very much, Bern. G'day, everyone. I think it is here. It's finally here. I have had... like everyone else, I've had a gutsful yes. of cold, wet, rainy, windy weather.
Oh.
And it just feels like today is the first day, for me anyway, that there's a real sort of like a bit of a sniff in the air of spring.
I get a bit of energy when I'm out in the sun. I welcome you, G.
Thank you, Ben.
Before
yeah,
I forget.
It's a real thing that the sun makes you happier.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Of course it is.
And the long weekend, it's getting up to 23.
23?
Yeah.
What a good number.
G, is the sun a thing when it's 45 as well?
Yeah.
Does that do the same thing?
It's you're a happy terrible you're thing there. Nah, the sun can bugger off when it's 45. That's too hot. Hey, some things happening around. Tonight is the Crows' best and fairest, Blue. Who are you expecting to win that?
Well, Rory Laird, surely.
You'd think so.
You'd think so.
But Brownlow medal, Tex got the most Brownlow medal votes.
He did, but how many rounds did he miss at the start of the season?
He missed three at the start.
Yeah.
And so, missed one who was rested.
Yes.
He missed four.
Yeah. So but you wouldn't think.
Laird, what about, he missed a couple at the start.
What about Jordan Dawson? Is he a smoky?
He's had a very good year and probably goes under the radar a little bit. He's had a very good middle patch of the year.
And what about the man who was leading the Brownlow? Right at the start of the count.
And who was that?
Benny Keyes.
Yes, Keyesy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I tipped him to win it before the year because I think, well, he finds a lot of the footy and that's what people love.
Yep.
Yes, he was winning after round five. Can you believe that?
Mm.
But no, it's going to be an exciting night. And G, you're going along. Are you going along as a date? Or are you going with a player or at a table? Or
no.
Speaking?
I am going along,
MC?
But just with a bunch of gals from Triple M.
Gals?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going, gals?
And the dress is hanging up in the corner of the studio.
Oh, you spotted it.
Yeah. Blue, just describe the gown.
Like
is that what you call it, gown?
Black.
Yeah.
Black.
It's black tie.
Definitely black.
Yeah.
It's black tie.
It's a bit of a tightish sort of
it's
a
tie.
How do you know it's tight?
Slinky.
It's not on her yet.
Stop. It's slinky.
And it's down.
So it's
past,
a slinky
it's
now.
Past the knees, sort of about half calf.
I thought you were going to say half cut.
Haven't seen the shoes
later.
Yet, G. But no, it looks nice.
That's the way I'd describe it to you, half cut. How do you know it's tight when you haven't seen it on
her? Well, it's hard.
Come on.
Actually, I really struggle, I must admit.
That's
when
why
Catherine, my wife, brings some clothes home and she comes out and she goes, what do you think?
Mm.
I've got no idea. Unless I see it on, I've got no idea.
No, I guarantee you just say good.
Good answer.
That always helps.
Burned late.
Hey, also, in news out of the Western Bulldogs, Josh Dunkley won their best and fairest. So obviously Port Adelaide missed out on him, but that's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Well,
how often does the best and fairest leave? Dangerfield did it, actually.
Did he?
He won the BNF at Adelaide and then went to Geelong. But
well, he fronted up as well. Like he made sure that he was there.
Yep.
So that was was good, I thought.
But
a bit awkward. But.
Hey, big show. We've got the first ever AFLW showdown tomorrow night, Blue.
Mm.
So we're going to chat to Chelsea Randall, the skipper.
Nice.
And just ask her how the build-up's been. We've got the old pig... head in the trough. He'll be joining us, Tom Rockliffe, with the fallout from the grand final.
Mm.
There's a bit of trade news around as well, a bit of coaching news, Brad Scott, Essendon,
plenty to talk to
DeGoey. We've only got him for one break. We might need him for two. We'll see how we go. But then obviously we could finish with Burns Facts, which everyone's happy about.
Are
some
we?
Cricket news?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not happy about it.
A little bit of news around the Big Bash, both the men and the women, just some tweaks.
Tweaks. Rule tweaks?
The news came out this afternoon. So I'll get my head around that and explain it in the second hour.
Well, G's winding us up. She's just started the song. I had a heap more to say, but anyway. It's a beautiful day, Azar. Look at it.
Our next guest is one of the most courageous players.
Great courage, Chelsea Randall. How about that courage from the captain, Chelsea Randall?
Sends it inside 50. Randall, what a mark by Chelsea Randall. The tremendous courage.
She'll be leading the Crows in the inaugural AFLW showdown.
Each game, you just prepare as normal, but this one is going to be a really special moment for South Australian fans, both Port and Crows.
Please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour, Crows captain, Chelsea Randall.
Yeah, we needed to inject some class into this show, Blue, so we thought, well, Chelsea Randall, captain of the AFLW team. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Chels.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Always good fun. Now, Jars isn't here, so you can't expect any silly questions. But how exciting is this? The first ever showdown in front of a big crowd at Adelaide Oval. How excited are you?
You've said the words twice there, mate. I'm thoroughly excited. I think I've said that a lot this week, to be honest. It's just pure joy, pure excitement. We can't wait to hit Adelaide Oval in front of South Australian fans and, yeah, let the showdown begin.
We're all looking forward to it, Chels. Hey, talk us through your week so far. Obviously, skipper, have there been extra commitments this week outside of footy?
Actually, yeah, this week we've had a few more presses and a few more media commitments than that, which has been fantastic because we really want to promote and get as many fans, both Port and Crows, there supporting females football, but also supporting their clubs and their teams, because this is the very first time that these two teams have met in a showdown in the women's competition. And, yeah, we can't wait to be playing our role in that space.
I'll tell you what they were doing earlier in the week, Blue.
What's that?
Sitting back smoking the cigars. Because on Sunday, I sat there and watched them destroy a GWS Giants team. 97 to a point. Did you even review that one? You just move on.
Oh, it was a really good win by our girls. They were definitely clicked. And, you know, GWS normally bring a really hot contest. And, you know, they still definitely did. But we were just really good in that space and really proud of the girls. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to continue that, be really clean around the footy and, yeah, get the ball moving our way this week.
Chels, what are you expecting tomorrow night? Have you seen much of Port so far this year, and have you heard anything about the crowd, like what sort of crowd we're expecting?
Yeah, well, in terms of Port, like, obviously, they're actually, I think, number one in set marking through their D50. So, and they've also rated number two in tackle differential. So, we know that to expect a really high, hot contest in terms of tackles and everything like that that's going to be played. But they also like to just use the footy in terms of kicking it around and not to just maintain possession in a sense. So hopefully we can bring that pressure to diffuse that. But I guess in that sense, I think when I last checked, they were looking at about 15,000 tickets have been sold.
Wow.
Which is awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, we're looking. I think it's just going to, a lot of people just turn up on the day. I mean, it's only $10 per adult, and kids under 18 are free. So, well, wouldn't you want to come watch the footy and enjoy it while you can?
A couple of ex-teammates are lining up in the Port colours. I know in the men's comp when that happened, you'd go after them a little bit.
You don't have to.
In particular, maybe Erin Phillips. If she's on the bottom of the pack, just maybe push her head in the ground.
I think she said to me when we were at the breakfast showdown that she was going to whack me. Oh. So
we'll get in first.
We love the banter. You know, we're best mates. Sometimes it's probably even more fun playing against your mates. So really looking forward to the opportunity to play against her. But Ange Foley and Justine Mills, it was funny. I had the presser with Ange Foley on Monday. And then I was driving home post that. I turned to my left in the car down Port Road, and there's Justine Mills in the car beside me, so I've picked up the phone and called her, and I've seen probably a lot of them already before I even taken the field. So.
She's already tagging you.
Yeah, that's it. Stalking
us. Hey, Chels, you reckon this is a real chance for your team to say, this is our town? Obviously, Port is...
Make a big statement.
Yeah, it's their first year in the comp, and they've won one, drawn one, but it could be a real chance to say, hang on, we're the number one.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously we want to go out there and we want to play our best footy, and you try and do that every single week. And for us, you know, we want to try and win as many games of football as we can, because that ultimately leads us into finals and gives us an opportunity to the end goal. And every team is trying to do that. So, but yeah, being the very first historic moment of a first ever showdown, you do really want to get that win. And both Port and Crows really want that. So it's going to be an ultimate game, ultimate contest. And may the best team win, and we hope it's us, and we're going to play the best footy that we can to hopefully achieve that. But yeah, you just never know. In a game of footy, sport throws weird things at you, so you just got to take it as it comes.
Oh, especially in showdowns. Didn't really matter where teams sat on the ladder in the men's comp. It was always very close, so be ready for that. Hey, you're known to be fierce in the contest, you girls, high tackling team. Someone that I think we need to go down and have a give her a blood test because I need to see if she's human. Anne Hatchard, she's a freak. Another three goals on the weekend, 28 disposals. She just keeps surprising everyone. Well, not surprising, just keeps baffling me how good she is.
it's brilliant. I'm so happy for Hatchie. She's a phenomenal person and an incredible player. And the duo in the midfield there with her and Ebony Marinoff, I think Goffey got up 36 touches as well on the weekend. So between the two of them, they're just a great duo, work really well together through there. So we're very lucky to have them in our side. But there's no surprises on our end. We know what they're very capable of doing. And to everyone else, it's exciting seeing their faces when they're watching them play.
Hey, Chels, Jars is on holidays this week, but he sent through a question that he wanted to ask you anyway. Here it is.
Oh, no.
Kind of the best combo.
And Chels, what about the race? Can you see the future in terms of participating in some sort of pre-season program like this?
Chels, have you ever been asked a question like that before or since?
I still do not have an answer for that. I don't even know how you answer that. You beauty, mate.
You don't have to answer.
You don't have really.
You don't have to answer it because it wasn't a question.
What it was.
We thank you for joining us. I know you've got a busy schedule, especially this week, ahead of the first ever AFLW showdown here at Adelaide Oval. Get along to the game because these girls will be having a crack. Yep. Good luck, Chels.
Thanks, Louie. Thanks, Bernie. Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
There we go, Chelsea Randall, captain of the AFLW. I reckon they go after Erin Phillips. they target her, Blue. Well, have to.
Come on, Bert. Sounds like a big crowd Friday night.
Love
so
it.
Look forward
Get
to
along.
It. Get along. Now, Bern, as we know, and our listeners will know, everything is just going up in price. Like, just it's skyrocketing.
My skin
the
folds.
Cost of living, your skin folds. Your brain cells are going the other way.
Yeah, burning them off.
But I've sort of started to take note what we're spending our money on at home, like in terms of our groceries and stuff like that. And as soon as I started to really concentrate on what my two boys were eating, Rory's 6, Sam is 7. Mm-hmm. Now, very different to when I was remember being that young and what I grew up with, you know, eating and stuff.
No choices.
What are your kids eating at the moment?
Well, Harvey's 3.5, coming up to 4, and Liv's coming up to 2. Breakfast, Weet-Bix. Olivia has hers warmed up. Harvey's cold every morning. They might have a bit of toast with Vegemite in the mid-morning.
Yep.
Maybe if they're lucky, a bit of peanut butter.
Yep.
Bit of honey on it. Yeah, try to keep the honey off.
So normal
and
sort of
very
stuff
stock standard dinners. Pasta with not much flavour in it.
Chicken nuggets and chips.
Pizza with nothing on it. Chicken nuggets with the skin peeled off. Just very stock standard, Blue.
Right.
What do you ask?
Well, that's very different to what my boys are doing at the moment. So I'll run you through Rory because he's changed. Like, he used to be like that, like very stock standard, wouldn't sort of branch out.
No.
He just, whatever he liked, he sort of, you know, stuck to sort of during the week. But Sam has always been, so Catherine comes from a Greek background, and we always call Sam, like, he's the real Greek one. Rory's little Aussie boy. Sam's got a bit more of the Greek in him. So he's always loved, like, he loves chili. Like, who
loves chili
at 7 years of age?
No kid likes chili.
On his eggs, cracked pepper. Like, we've got to stop him. He's like, he's going,
what is he, Jamie Oliver?
I'm going, Sam, stop. Like, the cracked pepper's just going everywhere.
He loves pepper.
He likes bocconcini.
I don't even know what that is.
Bocconcini.
Yeah, a little cheese, the little balls of cheese.
There's not much taste to bocconcini.
I thought bocconcini was that leaf.
No,
bocconcini is the little round balls of white cheese. Yes.
Oh, that's bok choy.
Oh, yeah.
Bok choy.
I actually thought that was it. That's what we used to call Nathan bok choy. That's the only reason I know what that is.
He's loving...
even though I got it wrong.
Brioche buns at the moment.
Brioche.
Brioche buns.
They're the shiny buns.
Yeah.
But he's also...
What is happening in your house? Was he French?
I saw him eating cheese the other day. Cheese on these crackers.
Oh, what?
And I had a look at the wrapper, and it's fromage dauphinois.
Oh, dauphinois is a super expensive, fancy cheese.
Right, thank you very much.
Sounds like a Sri Lankan cricketer.
He's got expensive taste.
Yeah, but so he's sort of always been, you know, loves the sort of fancy foods and stuff like that, right? But now, Rory, what?
Hang on, you don't just accidentally find these things. Someone's teaching him this. He's learning somewhere.
Catherine.
So it's
honestly,
her fault again.
Like I do all of our shopping, right? Yeah. So she always I start with the
so you fruit, get bread, milk,
fruit and veg, all that sort of stuff, and then it gets to the dairy,
Daffinois.
And then it's like the bocconcini, the cream cheese, the. What is it called?
But you're going, well, I'm not eating
halloumi,
any of these.
All this. And then.
Crap.
Ching, ching, ching.
Oh, yeah.
That just racks up.
All the cheap stuff.
But Rory's always been like, he's a bit like dad. Like, just play. But the other day.
Scared.
Yeah. Ripped. Abs. Lean.
You're just
tough.
Your arms and elbows are cooked.
But the other day he ordered, so he comes out and we say, what do you want for breakfast, boys? And sometimes Rory will go, I want eggs and soldiers, you know. I generally make that for him. But the other day he goes, Mum, can I have some poached eggs with some salmon? and I'd like some capers as well.
Who likes capers anyway?
Exactly.
Stop.
Exactly.
That is blue.
Exactly.
So no, you've got to draw the line
but
here,
but before
mate.
That, before that, I got the shopping list and it had their capers. And I'm like, I hate capers.
Capers are crap. They're the worst things.
Yeah. And Catherine goes, no, Rory loves capers. So that's where. So at the moment, he's eating poached eggs,
chili,
salmon, and capers on sourdough.
This all needs to stop. This has gone too far.
I know.
In fact, now you're talking about cooking.
Yeah.
Catherine sent me a bit of audio of Sam and Rory cooking salmon and capers and all that other crap that you said, bocconcini, bok choy.
I feel like I need some plastic wrap on my ass. Off back in line. If you got anything to say to me, say it to my face, not my back.
You got to
off. What a bozo. Hey, what do you think this is, a talk show?
No,
it's cook your dish and shut your fat mouth. Oh dear, it's
fucking that sounds like me when I see my bill, the shopping bill.
60 seconds on the clock, $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 minute.
Bernie, just before we go to our contestant, hasn't the quiz just run beautifully this week?
It's been smooth as a baby's bottom, they say.
Without jars.
Yes. Mm. Let's say hello to Brad from Northgate. G'day, Brad.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good. Good. You're looking forward to this?
Hopefully, yes.
How do you go when you're just playing along at home or in your car?
6-7s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's not good enough.
We want
10. We need 10s.
We had a 9 yesterday.
Yeah. Hopefully some easy questions.
Did you get the clue?
Just looking.
Yes. Yep.
Got the clue.
Okay.
Right.
All right. What do you do with yourself, Brad?
I just work at Subway.
Okay,
Subway,
cool.
Not whereabouts?
Sorry?
Where? What one? What Subway?
St. Peter's.
Oh, blue. Ooh, hang on.
Okay.
It's around the corner from Greg. Be careful. We'll be trying to hit you up for free Subway all the time.
Ease up.
Cookies.
All right, Brad. Are you ready to rumble, mate?
Let's go.
All right. Let's do it. What sport is Winx a champion of?
Horse racing.
Who defeated the Redbacks in yesterday's Marsh Cup one-day match?
Tasmania.
Which Geelong player announced their retirement today?
Dale House.
Which pop star is headlining the 2023 Super Bowl halftime show?
Rihanna.
What are the indentations in golf balls called?
Pass.
Who won the Western Bulldogs Best and Fairest last night?
Dunkley.
Which player scored the famous Hand of God goal in the 1986 World Cup?
Maradona.
Which team did the Adelaide Crows defeat in last season's AFLW Grand Final?
Pass.
Which NRL team does last night's Dally M winner Nico Hines play for?
Cronulla Sharks.
How many club best and fairest did Mark Rusciuto win?
Pass.
What are the indentations in golf balls called?
Dimples.
Which team did the Adelaide Crows defeat in last season's AFLW Grand Final?
Melbourne.
How many best and fairest did Mark Rusciuto win at Adelaide?
One.
Oh. All right.
Oh, wow.
My heart is racing, bro.
Well, I'll tell you, you've improved from six or seven like you play at home, mate, which is good. That when the lights are on, your lights go brighter.
Well, let's see how we went.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Correct.
Oh. Nine. Oh, another nine.
You had nine last night.
Jeez, do you know what one you got wrong, Brad?
Probably
Rusciutto. Yes.
Yes. You said one. Do you want to have another crack at it?
Three.
He won three. Equal most at the Crows with Simon Goodwin and Andrew McLeod. That's the only one.
Well, geez,
I like his technique too. He just nailed that. That's the perfect way to do it.
Fantastic effort, Brad. We're going to give you a double pass to see the new David Bowie movie that's out, Moon Age Daydream, in cinemas now.
All good. Thank you.
Good work, Brad.
I'll see you soon, mate. I'm a chicken satay man.
No, leave him alone.
What?
Choc macadamia cookie. Thanks.
Oh, the true hot dog one that they're doing now. Have you seen that? No. Sausage sub. Sausage dog sub. I don't know what it's got.
Yeah,
anyway.
It sounds like you don't.
It's like a hot dog in a Subway.
Oh, save yourself, G. Turn yourself off.
We'll do it again instead. Same time tomorrow, 4:30.
Get a sausage roll.
Every weekday on Triple M's Rush Hour, we play for $1,000.
Oh, no, she's paying.
I want to rock!
He was a star at Brisbane and Port Adelaide.
Tom's aware that his form's not been at the level he needs to be in the position he played.
Now, he dominates the airwaves.
0455047.
Go again.
Tim Van Rietuvoven.
On Triple M, it's our boss, Matt O'Reilly's mate. Tom Rockliffe. LMAC Cleaning Services. Get clean behind the scenes. Specialists in all industrial and commercial cleaning.
Well, welcome, Rock. How long are you continuing? Because the footy season's finished. Is that the last we hear of that opener?
I'm not sure.
It's a bit unfair.
I'll have to have a look. I think I'm here for the rest of the year. I think next week.
All the way through.
Oh, maybe not. We on Dead Set Legends, we go up to November 24, I think. So I'll be around. So if you need me and you need content, you need a few laughs, I'm more than happy to come in.
When are we going through till? 29th of November.
I've got no idea. I get told
till the
nothing.
Cricket starts.
Do you want to be the cricket expert?
I could go down on the boundary and do some cricket stuff. I couldn't go worse than what you did when you tried to do footy.
They offered me double this footy season.
What is it with you and cricket and footy? Because footy, you fall apart. And cricket, you actually string a few words together.
I just try when we do the cricket.
Oh, you don't try with footy. That's not the attitude.
Crickle M trip it.
Crickle M, that's right. Cricket. We're the Crickle M Tripper. I forgot about that one. I need to ask you about grand final. Maybe it's like Sam Smith.
Just plays as long as there's no European names.
The Dutchman versus
something
Frenchman.
Easy. Grand final fallout, Sydney putrid. Bit of an ordinary grand final, but Geelong, best team all year, deserved it.
Yeah, they certainly did. I think it surprised everyone. We expected it to be a cracking grand final, and Sydney had played some really good footy up until the grand final day, and about 15 minutes in, it was all over. And well done to Geelong. They were far too good on the day. They've been far too good for most of the season, so everyone wrote them off. I certainly did. I thought they were too old and over the hill, and they'd slide this year, but to their credit, they came back, and I'm not sure they can climb it again, but they give themselves a chance every year. And I've seen some stupid stat about Joel Selwood's career. Imagine having his career.
Oh,
like 257 wins.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Out of 350.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What about the finish to that too? Just the perfect way to go out. Yep. Unbelievable champion of the game.
An amazing way to go out. So him and Shane Crawford have had that moment, but the difference is Selwood's got four of them. Crawford got one at the end. So, absolute superstar of the competition though. A lot of people knock the way Joel plays. I don't understand it. He's hard. They think he gets a lot of high free kicks. It was a technique that he used really well throughout his career, but he was as tough as anyone in the game. One of the hardest matchups. I'm sure you may have ran with him at certain times, but some of the guys that we've lost this year, I'd nearly put it down to one of the best years of retirees that we've had. Mm. Mundy, Selwood, Gray, Edwards from Richmond, Ryder, both Josh Kennedys. Like, they're some cracking names that have retired this year.
Some 300 games, a lot of 300 games there too. Hey, we've just heard news that it's been reported by Mark Robinson that Brad Scott's got the Essendon job. Surprise when sort of a late entrance into the running. Are you surprised with that, or they did mention they wanted some experience?
Yeah, it is a bit of a surprise. I thought he was pretty happy at the AFL, the cushy type job. Hopefully, we can get rid of some of those rules, the stand and whatnot. But they had to wait till the end of the season to interview him. They couldn't have compromised that. He's a footy operations manager, and you can't interview him while the AFL season's still going on. So they would have done their homework on him, and he was obviously the favourite going in. They want some experience to come in, so I think it's a good appointment. He had a pretty good record at North Melbourne, just couldn't get him through those prelim finals into that big dance. But you look back at the year that he coached against, it was a tough time to win grand finals. They're always hard to win, so he has a pretty good coaching record.
Just on Brad Scott, and you mentioned the stand rule, love to hear your thoughts on where the game's at, because I love the final series, so... Did the stand rule, you don't think, had anything to do with that?
I don't think so. They should take it away. I speak to a lot of older people within my neighbourhood or back home and whatnot, and there are a lot of people are turned off by hearing just the umpire saying stand all the time. So yep. Even if they took the microphones away from the umpires and didn't play it through the TV, it may entice them a little bit more. I think the final series is always great. I think at the start of the season, it's always over-umpired. And the thing with finals are you get the best umpires. Yeah. So they've spoken about bringing in an extra umpire next year. I don't know if it's needed. I think if you have the best doing the best games, it always works well. So I wouldn't tinker with it too much. Ex-players, we always like to say that it was better when we used to play, but yep. it's a pretty good product at the moment, and the high scoring, I think, is a good thing. You don't want to see more free kicks coming to the game, though.
I actually, for what it's worth, I like the stand rule. I think it opens up the corridor and they can play on quicker.
Yep.
Hey, the trade week opens next Monday, the 3rd. Any surprises, you think? Isaac Rankin, is that deal getting closer? Josh Dunkley won the best and fairest last night, end up at Brisbane, no problems?
Yeah, there's a bit to play out there. I reckon Brisbane have got a big trade period in front of them. Gunston's committed to them, Dunkley. How do they all fit in? Mm. I'd imagine they'd be pretty tight on their cap. With
McStay leaves, I suppose.
McStay leaves, but they've brought in Neil, Cameron. Some of the players that they've brought in over the last few years, they'd have to pay Andrews a fair bit to keep him. Gardner re-signed today. So Brisbane may squeeze and might have to get a couple out. We know they've got some really good kids that they want to get in through the father-son. So there's a fair bit to play out. To Goey, Essendon, do they have that conversation now as well?
Be happy with Jack Graham at Port?
Yeah, I think it'd be a good fit. There's enough noise around is Cozzy Pickett. I still think he's a possibility.
Gettable, you reckon?
I think he's a possibility of being Port Adelaide colours next year.
Jeez, that'd be a big one for Port Adelaide. Big loss for Melbourne. Hey, just quickly before we let you go, Crows BNF tonight. Rory Laird just wins that?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll win it by the length of the straight. I think he had a really good season, super consistent, and that's what goes into winning best and fairest. If you play well every week for your team, you generally win the best and fairest. I've won a couple.
No, so have I, actually. Bluey?
No. For the Redbacks, yes. How many? I think a couple, three, four.
Yeah, welcome back to the 5 o'clock hour of the Thursday edition of the Rush Hour. And it's still beautiful outside, Greg. It has not changed. It's nice and warm. I'm starting to get a bit of energy in my skin. What's that vitamin you get from the sun?
D, isn't it?
I was going to say E.
No, it's D.
What's E? Orange juice. C.
C.
What's B? Banana.
B's every vegetable.
B for banana?
Mm.
No. Anyway, big hour coming up. I'm turning into a doctor. Hey, I'm going to chat to you after this break, Greg. I need to speak to you about something. It's about, I'm not sure if punishments are the right word, but I need some advice on how to get rid of bad habits from kids, because it shocked me this afternoon when I found out what Abby was doing that I didn't know to Harvey, and I need to first of all have a chat to her about it and ask you whether it's okay.
But you're not easily shocked.
No, it wasn't. I just couldn't work out what the hell was wrong with him. But then I sort of worked it out, and he dobbed his mum in, which I didn't mind. Don't mind the technique involved. Anything else we need to cover here, G?
You're coding in the jazz.
What about Crow's breaking news about Essendon's coach?
Well, Essendon, yes. We touched on that with Rock, didn't we? Well, it still hasn't come out, though.
How many times do you want us to mention it, G?
Well, some people just tuned in.
Brad Scott is expected to be announced Essendon coach tonight.
We did go with this last night or yesterday and the day before about DeGoey, though, didn't we? Said, no, yes. He's expected to sign tonight. Mm. It's been reported by Channel 7, by these guys. Mm. Then all of a sudden today we have to say, well, Jordan Ngoi could be going to Essendon, so I don't want to just fire off all these shots too early. I want to wait till it's happening. But from all reports, Mark Robinson has said that he will be named as Essendon coach tonight, which is a bit surprising for me. Adam Uzzah thought was the best man for the job, but who knows?
He keeps missing out, doesn't he? Hey, I've got some Big Bash news as well. Some tweaks to the competition.
Tweaks. What are they doing? Making it exciting again?
I'll tell you about it.
Give me a clue. Blues
DRS. DRS involved.
Getting rid of it. Now, I need to speak to you, Blue, and G, and family. I was having lunch today with Harvey. Just had some leftover pasta. We warmed up. Very plain pasta, obviously, after the chat we had earlier. but he was sort of eating it, and then at one stage I looked out the corner of my eye, and I was thinking, mate, it can't be that bad.
It's pasta.
There's not much else in there unless there's a fly land in there, you've eaten it or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what have you done? He goes, pass me the drink. Need a drink. He's got his eyes shut and everything. I'm like, geez, well, here's your drink. He goes, oh, that's better. I'm like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, mum's. So to get back to why he's done this, he bites his nails.
Yeah, well, but so do I.
Bite my nails. Yep. Harvey bites his nails. Dad bites his nails. Dad's dad, which is my grandpa, bites his nails. All my uncles bite their nails.
It's in his blood.
It's in his blood. So Abby thought that it was a good idea to stop this bad habit. She doesn't like it.
Oh, no.
Doesn't like it, Greg.
Right.
So I didn't even know this was a thing. But she has painted his nails. Yes.
Painted it.
Did I actually say that right?
Yeah, you actually did this first time.
Painted it.
Yeah.
Painted his nails with
that
an odor, like an odor type style. So it's clear because so you can't see it. But it's
the
odor.
It's the taste, it's not the odor.
That if you go to chew or lick, he's accidentally picked up a bit of pasta and just put it in his mouth and got it on his tongue. And I was like, it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
And can you tell me about it maybe first as well, Ab, please, if you're listening?
My parents home, used to paint that on my nails. I used to bite my nails. Yeah, it's called Stop and Grow. It tastes disgusting. And so, yeah, if you get even the tiniest little bit of it, it's sour and like bitter, and it's meant to make you stop putting your fingers in your mouth.
Has it got chemicals in it?
It doesn't smell like anything, because I went around and I thought, well, I better have a go at this.
Yeah.
So I went around and couldn't smell anything. Then I've had just a little lick of his finger. And boy, it is not what you want to be putting in.
What does it taste like? Is it really bitter?
Crap.
Bitter?
It tastes like something that's gone rotten. Like it's really bad. And it's sort of like salty or something. It's got a salty edge to it.
Mm.
But anyway, I can see why he doesn't like eating it, which got me thinking about 133353, by the way. What sort of techniques or methods do you use to stop your kids
from doing
bad habits? Mm. Like I remember when we were younger, if we swore, we'd get, you know, a lot of people get soap in their mouths and all that sort of the old wives' tales.
Yep.
We used to get hot mustard, the mustard on our tongue. I'll put mustard on your tongue. You only want to get that once. So that stopped me swearing real quick. We also, I don't know if I can say this, but I just get hit with the aerial. I snapped the aerial off Dad's ute one day after him saying a number of times, don't do that, you'll break it. Don't do that, you'll break it. Next thing, broke. And then that became the weapon of choice.
Yes.
And have you ever been whipped with an aerial?
Oh, no, that wouldn't be
nice. Oh, it's got some coil on it, that
especially
thing.
On the calves.
Oh, and it gives you a line, like a line on your leg. But 133353, what interesting
or
harsh habits.
I need some ideas as well for my two little rugrats.
Yeah.
I'm out of ideas.
There's no secret little tricks for stopping them breaking out of school and throwing stuff at teachers, Blue. That's too far. Give us a call. Let me know. Well, I just found out this afternoon that Abby's been painting Harvey's nails with What is it? Stop and Grow.
Stop and Grow.
Never heard of it, but it's a revolting tasting clear nail polish to stop you biting your nails. So I want to know, 133353, what method or techniques do you use on your kids to stop them from doing something? It might be swearing. It might be to eat their vegetables, anything like that. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Darcy from Ordinga Beach. What techniques do you use?
I don't use any techniques. I have them used on me.
Oh, when was this? When you were a kid? Back.
Yep.
When I was, just when I was a kid. we used to get the wooden spoon from a mate's mum of mine.
Yeah.
And also the soap too. So any chance we got, they had an open fire. They lived at a chunga. We'd chuck all the wooden spoons in the fire.
Oh, no. Get the fire that going.
That way the only thing in the arsenal was the soap, but don't worry, she backed up on that.
No. Hey, the only thing is, if you get rid of a wooden spoon, the worry for me is the next weapon, because normally they go to something worse.
Yes, that's
so
right.
It might be a stick with, you know, a stick if you're near a fire. That would be worse, I reckon. Yeah. Hey, let's go to Andrew from Vista. What techniques did you used to use?
Oh, mate, it wasn't with the kids. It was actually with a dog that I used to have. He used to have a habit of chewing on my fingers for some reason. I was an affectionate thing or whatever it was, but I got sick and tired of it. So I just ground up some chilies out of the fridge and put them on my fingers and said, mate, have a go at this. Never did it again.
Really? Stop it. Did it? He never did it again.
Quick learner.
Never.
Geez, that would have been a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
Chewing on some chilies on the dog's tongue. He would have been going nuts.
Good on you, Andrew. Let's go to Shane at Seaford Rise.
He did it again.
Seaford Rise.
Shane. That's the fourth go.
No.
Go again. Just start that again.
G'day, Shane. What's your what's your punishment that's successful?
Well, it wasn't a punishment, and it's Seaford, mate, not Seaford.
Yeah.
Tell him, Shano.
Yeah, as my kids, I got three of them. As you know, I'm a bricklayer by trade, and I've changed. But anyway, you know, they were hanging around me when I'm working, and I'd be just about, you know, I'd hit myself and about to swear like the old, and then I'd come out with Jiminy Crickets.
Yep.
So every time I was going to swear, I'd say Jiminy Crickets. Now I ended up going to kindy, and the lad was at kindy, you know, banging a hammer and nail, and he's hit his finger, and he's like, oh, Jiminy Crickets, you know. And,
yeah.
And the teacher's coming up going, what's going on? How come, you know, he says Jiminy, he wouldn't even know who that character is. I said, well, look, you know, instead of me swearing in front of him, I'd say Jiminy Crickets, and they've picked it up along the way.
That's clever.
You'd rather them say that, wouldn't you?
Clever. Then, how did you keep calm and controlled to say Jiminy Crickets, though? Because when I was swearing, I've hit my finger, anything comes out.
Yeah, it came out like a Jiminy Crickets.
Gee, was getting ready for the dumb bun.
Yeah. Got my finger ready.
I'm saying it, you know what I mean? So, and the other thing was I did the same with my kids. They started swearing. Two of my youngest, or eldest, got started swearing. And I said, right, well, shut your eyes and stick your tongue out. I had my finger in the mustard, straight hot English mustard, straight on the tongue. Get the shit out of them, and they've never sworn again.
Exactly. That's exactly what I used to get, the hot mustard. I used to be scared. I still can't have that now.
Yeah, do it.
Nah, good on you, Shane. Thanks for the call. I reckon Shane needs a prize.
I love it.
KG in the Hall of Fame, KG.
Yes, well, and the media centre down at Adelaide Oval.
How good
is forever going to be named the KG Cunningham Media Centre?
Yep, love
so that's
it.
Fantastic. Great. I'll be in there this summer, very soon, actually. Hey, Bern, I'm going to run past some changes that have been made to the Big Bash this season.
They needed some.
Yeah, I like them all, but I'm going to run them past you and you need tell me whether it's a tick or a cross.
Okay.
All right? Gee, you can partake in this as well.
Cricket's that sport where they have a bat and a ball.
Cheers.
Yeah.
They played Adelaide Oval.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Geez, she looked a bit confused.
Cricket Australia has confirmed that DRS technology will be available for every Big Bash League match this summer, along with 24 games in the women's competition. All right. Each team will receive one unsuccessful review per innings during the popular T20 competition, with the fielding captain or batter allocated 15 seconds to call for a review.
Yeah, like it.
All right. So technology is Ultra Edge, all right, commonly referred to as Snicko, and ball tracking.
Yep. All right. I like that.
So there's no hot spot.
As long as they don't waste it. Oh, there's no hot spot.
No hotspot, which isn't a big, I don't think it's a big deal.
I don't like, I don't like the, when they go, oh, yeah, let's have a go at it when it's probably out. I just want to eradicate the howler, and that's what it originally was there for.
Yeah.
But teams waste it all the time going, oh, we need a wicket, we'll just throw up. Hopefully they don't use it like that. Only with one opportunity, I don't think they will.
Yes, but if it's a successful review, then they'll still keep that opportunity to keep reviewing. So only if it's an unsuccessful one, then then the review's out.
I like that, Greg. Right?
The other ones are, so they brought in three new rules last summer.
Yep.
One was the bash boost point. Mm. So that was when at the end of the 10 overs, the second lot of 10 overs, I should say, if one team was ahead of the other at that particular point, they'd get an extra point.
Why did they do that? Was that to encourage going hard early?
Yep.
Or if the just game to add was another, gone a bit.
Just to add another element to it. And it sort of backfired a bit in games as well because when teams lost multiple wickets early, they just ended up going for the bash boost point instead of the end result.
The match, yeah.
So I'm glad that that's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Also, the X factor substitution.
That didn't work
at all. So they used to have same thing.
You could bowl one over and you'd have to take them out. I just didn't. Yeah. I don't know what they were trying to inject there, but that didn't work for me.
No.
That's gone?
So that's out as well.
That's a tick.
The one that stays, which I like, is the power surge.
Oh, yeah. So like a power play.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's
good.
After the 10 overs when the batting team can nominate two overs where there's only a minimum number of fielders outside of the circle.
After 10.
After
10.
Yeah,
that's, I like that. So that's similar to the one days.
There's three fielders allowed out for the two overs. So
that's good.
During those, the final 10 overs, there's a bit more happening.
How late can they do that? Is there a rule?
No.
You can have it the last two overs.
Yes.
That didn't
happen very often last year.
Because you probably lost most of your best batsmen then anyway.
Yeah.
If you're going hard enough. But, geez, it's dangerous if they're one or two down and you got that in your last couple of overs.
Yep. Now, the other good thing as well, the fielding teams in the men's competition will now be put on a countdown clock to ensure they start the final over of the innings within 79 minutes.
Right, and what's the punishment for this? Because generally it's the captain that gets done.
Yep, only four fielders will be permitted outside of the inner ring for the remainder of the innings.
Oh, so however late they are,
yes,
you only get... Right.
Because what's been happening in the IPL is that they've just been going on and on.
Take too long.
You know, there's more tactics now in T20 cricket, so trying to get all your fields right, that's just been taking too long.
I like that.
When it first came in, T20 cricket, it was meant to be for...
Fast and furious.
Yes, fast and furious, get on with it. So they've got 79 minutes to start before their last over.
So if they've got three overs to go and it ticks over to 80 minutes, their last three overs...
Only four fielders out.
Another fielder's got to come in.
Yes.
Good luck with that. Mm. Plus you do the power play.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So I like all those changes. So
now they're good, Greg.
Yeah.
Did you have something to do with that?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, it makes sense. So you probably didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
Thursday, last day of the week. I have to do these.
Oh, what a great day.
Look at the smile on his face.
It's just a happy day for me, Thursday.
Oh.
Fridays, obviously, I don't do them. So we can all look forward to that.
What's that replaced
by? And my birthday, Sunday as well. I just remembered when I was looking at it. I was like, hang on, this date's getting close to my facts.
Mm.
Not my facts.
The highlight tapes tomorrow night, isn't it, instead?
Highlights instead. September 29 today. Now, we need to pay our respects to someone that passed away today, Blue. Coolio. What a great song. Gangsters.
Number one for 14 weeks.
Was it?
In 1995.
Wow, 1995.
Yep, 59 years old.
Very sad. 59, that's too young. Hey, some birthdays today. 1994. Have you heard of Halsey, Greg?
Nope.
This is her. But it's the devil that's trying to hold me down. Is she good?
Yeah, she did a song with Justin Bieber that kind of made her blow
What's
up.
What's that one?
I think she did a cover or something that made her famous.
Australian, American?
No, she's not Australian.
Never heard of her.
Okay.
Sorry, Bern.
Good fact.
Okay, 1961, Julia Gillard, the first female prime minister ever. Jules. Oh, you know her. You've probably met her.
No, I haven't.
Cup of tea.
Maybe I have.
No, you haven't.
Adelaide girl.
1954. Now, A Star Is Born. Now, that was recently came out, but I didn't know. We thought there was two of them. And you thought someone was in one of them.
Barbara Streisand.
There's been three, Greg. You are right. Barbara Streisand was in the second one. But on this day, 1954, the first one premiered, had Judy Garland in it. She was the leading actress.
Judy Garland. Yeah.
That's what.
What do I say?
Julia
Gillard. Well, that sounds like Judy Garland.
Same initials. Yeah, so the new one is obviously Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Cooper, yes. Yeah. And so Barbara Streisand was in the one in the 70s, Greg. So you were right before when you said that.
That's one of my favourite movies, by the way.
That's a great movie.
The recent one.
Musical. 1996 on this day. The Nintendo 64 gaming console was released. I don't know what sound we got here.
Jeez, you love your games.
An ad for Nintendo 64.
I was going to say, this doesn't sound like a Nintendo.
I've still got mine.
Do you know what was Nintendo 64, Greg? Because it's got a 64-bit central processing unit.
Oh, wow.
You learned that, Greg.
Wow.
If only you had 3 or 4 bits in that head of yours, we could be working with something on this day, 2018. Kanye West changed his name, Greg, from Kanye West to Yee.
What?
Yee.
What Y-E. The hell? Why would he do that?
Well, I've got no idea because he's a knob. Yeah.
I looked it up. It said because he's very religious, right?
Yeah.
And so apparently ye is the most used word in the Bible and it means you.
Right.
And he wanted to be like one with the people. So he gave this speech. He's like, I am you.
He's different. Right. We're going to move on. We're running out of time.
What was his middle name? Yang?
Oh, no, don't blame. But on this day, 1997, the great Robbie Williams released his debut solo album. It was called Life Through a Lens. This was the song.
I'm loving angels instead.
How good's his song? And through
it, dedicated this to Shane Warne.
Yes.
Grand final.
How good.
Yeah. Very touching. Whether
I'm right or wrong. See you, family. Beautiful. No more facts tomorrow, unfortunately. Bad luck for you. Good luck for me.
See ya.
Bye.